Good morning. My name is Amy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Credito Real's third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. Credito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, October 27th, 2016. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 9753. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during today's conference call do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, and company performance and financial results. These statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. Today from Credito Real in Mexico City, we have Mr. Angel Romanos, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Carlos Toa, Deputy Chief Executive Officer. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Romanos. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our third quarter 2016 conference call. We are very pleased to announce that third quarter 2016 was the best quarter in the history of Credito Real. Including non-recurring items, the net income amounted for 588 million pesos, and the loan portfolio grew almost 40% year-over-year. 2016 shall mark a breaking point in the history of Credito Real. This year has been challenging in many different ways. Firstly, the consolidation of the acquisitions made at the beginning of the year and the learning process involved has been very demanding. Secondly, we started this year with a need to refinance almost 40% of our outstanding liabilities, most of which were due during the first quarter. Furthermore, an extremely volatile economic landscape and unanticipated political scenarios forced us to plan in terms of where we foresee the company's growth in the coming years, and not only in the short term. Lastly, the communication efforts made throughout the year to reassure all the stakeholders of the company has been very rewarding. It has been over a year since we decided to extend our geographical and products footprint. Once again, we have proved that our business model continues to deliver outstanding results. Currently, 10% of our loan portfolio and total origination comes from our businesses in the United States. Our Lancar acquisition and operation exceeded our estimates during the quarter, and we are convinced that this partnership is the best way to reach our Latin American customers in the U.S. As such, we are building strong foundations for growth. Regarding Instacredit, almost 20% of new loans originated in Credito Real came from Instacredit. Moreover, with our international expansion, one-third of the interest income of Credito Real is generated through stable currencies. During July, we issued a $625 million senior note due in 2023 with a 7.25% semiannual coupon. With the proceeds of such issuance, we purchased nearly 70% of the total outstanding amount of the 2019 notes. Together, these two transactions were the largest liability management program done in the history of Credito Real. As of this quarter, we have extended the debt profile from 2 years in 2015 to 4 years today. Regarding the extremely volatile economic landscape, we do not have any FX exposure since all our dollar-denominated debt has a full cross-currency swap or is naturally hedged by our assets in U.S. dollars. In terms of the interest rate increase that we are facing, we are able to mitigate the effect by adding high-yield products outside of Mexico. Our payroll loan portfolio grew by 14% with a healthy 2.4% NPL ratio. As previously disclosed, we do not foresee any material adverse effect in the near term in the asset quality. Origination or performance of our loan portfolio due to the demonstrations against the Mexican educational reform. Our exposure prevails unaffected to the CENTE in Oaxaca, Guerrero, Chiapas, and Michoacán states. We continue doing significant diversification efforts, one of them being the pensioners market, which represents 25% of payroll origination and 17% of the portfolio for the quarter. We will continue with our origination procedures, diversification attempts, and enlargement of our presence within federal entities to continue developing a healthy payroll loan portfolio. In the 2016 guidance, we disclosed earnings growth in the range of 15 to 20%, with return on equity around 20%. Year-to-date September figures reaffirm our guidance with a 16% earnings growth and a 20% ROE. We have consistently built a strong credit platform that today serves 770,000 customers, 39% more than a year ago. Finally, in spite of the fact that both our outstanding bonds have been performing remarkably well in the debt capital markets, this positive trend has not yet been reflected in our stock price. We see this as an opportunity. As such, given the current valuation of Crédito Real's shares, the board of directors has taken the decision to implement a share buyback program for as much as $20 million. Nonetheless, the largest opportunity continues to be fulfilling the need for high-quality financial services for the segments of the population that are traditionally underserved, which remains at the core of our business. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Carlos Ochoa.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you for taking part in our quarterly conference call. During the quarter, we had the effect of a non-recurring item registered upon the unwinding of certain financial derivatives and transactions. The change in the hedging strategy that led to such unwinding is attributable to the successful tender offer for the company's 2019 senior notes. The effect of this non-recurring item was an additional interest income of 293 million pesos and 211 million in the net income. Also, during the quarter, we experienced a negative carry, which is originated by the remaining unused resources of the senior note 2023. The effect is reflected on the investment and security on the balance sheet that accounts for 3.2 billion pesos and on the P&L for an additional interest expense of 66 million pesos. Regarding the interest income, during this quarter we reached interest income of 1.8 billion, increasing 67% on a recurrent basis compared to the third quarter of 15. Instacredit contributed to 27% of consolidated interest income, including the gains from unwinding the cross-currency swap interest income increased by 93%. Nowadays, approximately one-third of the interest income from Crédito Real is on foreign-denominated currencies. Concerning the funding, the average funding cost increased from 6.4% reported on the third quarter of 15 to 9.6% figure in third quarter of 16. Instacredit only adds 120 basis points to the consolidated, and also the negative carry amounts for 60 basis points. Excluding the Instacredit consolidation interest expenses and the mentioned negative carry, Crédito Real cost of funds would have reached 7.7%. When it comes to the financial margin, the financial margin increased by 46% on a recurrent base to 1.26 billion, driven by interest income growth. Instacredit contributed to 30% of the consolidated financial margin. Including the effect of the non-recurring items, the financial margin increased by 1.5 billion, increasing 80%. Provisions for loan losses reached 286 million this quarter. In terms of cost of risk, this quarter reported 5%. The increase in the cost of risk is in line with portfolio growth, portfolio diversification, and mostly due to the standardization of charge-off policies between the foreign subsidiaries. Important to mention as well is that during the quarter, we recovered around 100 million pesos of charge-off accounts reflected on the other income line on our P&L. Considering this portfolio recovery, the cost of risk would have reached 3.3%. Year-to-date, the cost of risk reported at 3.2% for the whole year, and this metric should be close to the 4%. Administrative expenses. Those reached $805 million during the third quarter of 2016, showing a 185% increase when compared to the third quarter of 2015 figure. The increase is mainly driven by the consolidations of AFS, Resuelves, and Instacredit and Doncarro expenses. Excluding these recent acquisitions and the SG&A, we have increased only 0.7%. Net income. In the third quarter of 2016, increased by 10.9%, reaching $376 million compared to the $339 million posted during the third quarter on a recurring basis. The net income for the quarter was affected by $46 million due to the negative carry. Excluding that event, the net income had been increased by 24.4%, including of the non-recurring item. The net income increased 73% to reach $587 million. In terms of key financial ratios, during the quarter, we achieved a return on assets of 4.3% and a return on equity of 17.8%, which compares with 6% and 22.1% reported in the previous year. The ROA and ROE reflects the negative carry consisting on investment in securities on the balance sheet that amounts for 3.2 billion pesos and on the P&L decreasing the net income by 46 million. Excluding those items, the ROA would have reached 5.1% and the ROE 20%. The quarter's efficiency ratio reached 60.7%, reflecting again the consolidation of Instacredit, AFS, Doncarro, and Resuelve expenses, and the network distribution expansion of our subsidiaries. Excluding these acquisition effects and the negative carrier, again, efficiency ratio would have reached 37%, a figure very comparable to the 34% and 37% reported on the second quarter of 2015 and the second quarter of 2016, respectively. Our capitalization index reached 38% compared to the same figure of third quarter of 2015, even after the increased debt to finance finance our recent acquisition. Crédito Real still has a capitalization ratio that is well above the average of the financial sector. Our loan portfolio increased by 40% to reach $22.8 billion at the end of the third quarter of 2016, compared to $16.3 billion recorded at the end of third quarter of 2015. The organic growth was approximately 17%, which was driven by payroll and the used car businesses. Inorganic growth represented 22%, boosted by the consolidation of Instacredit. We keep supporting our payroll portfolio growth with pensioners. This quarter represented 25% of the total origination, and also nearly 88% of our new loans came from the three main distributors in which we own equity. Our SME portfolio decreased 27% to end up the quarter with an outstanding balance of $1.4 billion. The third quarter was less dynamic, and our product has short-term duration because it attends SME's working capital needs. Also, the decrease is explained by the tight credit policies and was negatively affected by the repricing of the Mexican interest rate hike. Our durable good portfolio decreased by 50% compared to the third quarter of 2015, and as we have said previously, we privilege asset quality over growth. In general, we maintain tight credit policies. As we mentioned last quarter, we decided to gradually exit from the traditional durable good business, considering that the industry has become mature and highly competitive. In the group loan business, our operators, Contigo and Somos Uno, reported a 29% loan portfolio expansion. As we have previously disclosed, our balance sheet only recognizes the funding provided to our partners in which we own equity. The group loan portfolio, our balance sheet reached $328 million, but the loan portfolio of our partners reached almost 650 million pesos. Our group loan partners also maintain asset quality, as seen in the 1.1% NPLs reported this quarter. As of third quarter of 2016, our group loan network serves more than 190,000 active customers. In terms of origination, we posted a 32% growth, and without Instacredit consolidation, it increased almost by 10%. The group loans and used cars origination also experienced a good rate growth. We have made important diversification attempts, and nowadays, only 25% of the origination came from the payroll loans. Non-performing loans portfolio was 2.5% this quarter compared to the 2% ratio last year. The increase in the NPL of the company was mainly caused by the used car business, that is explained by the expansion on our USA used car business expansion, and in which NPLs are well above those of the Mexico business. Instacredit consolidation as well contributed to this increase in the NPLs, since they have higher NPLs, but also higher returns. Overall, the NPL is in line with the 2-3% long-term objective as we attain larger diversification. Allowances for loan losses this quarter was 803 million with a 1.4 times coverage ratio. The allowance for loan losses increased in line with the non-performing loans and portfolio growth. And with this, I conclude my remarks. And now let me turn back to the call to the operator to open line for Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Yes. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And again, please press star 1 to ask a question. Also, please state your name and company name before asking your question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we do have our first question. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Whose line?
It's Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, didn't hear that one. Sorry for that one. Well, good morning, Anca and Carlos. So, first of all, congratulations, I guess, on the results that were nonetheless a little confusing. I have actually just one question. I mean, it makes total sense, and you've very nicely disclosed the implications from the non-recurring gain you had recognized. But then obviously, throughout the text, you talk a lot about the negative implications, which you still have because of the carry. So those 66 million pesos, just to understand, is that something we should expect to see as well, some sort in the fourth quarter? Is that something that has now been unwinded? What's the ultimate result here going to be, and how should we think that put into consideration about, let's say, the recurring reported net income growth for this year? Because obviously the final reported one is going to be nonetheless very strong because of the non-recurring effect. But just to understand how that derivative thing, how long is this going to impact you on the interest expense side? That would be my question.
Hello, Benjamin. This is Angel. We're planning to keep the cash at least through the U.S. election, and we have to keep some of it also until February, when we have the option to purchase the other 30% of the bond that didn't go to the tender offer. So we plan to keep that cash and the cash we have today until at least the 9th of November. We think it's good on our side to have a good cash provision in case volatility comes abroad and a negative effect comes to the financial markets in general. So okay, we should have the effect at least for half of the quarter, the whole effect.
Okay. And it's going to be that, just from my understanding now, it was about on your cost of funds, and you've disclosed this very nicely with that bar chart. So it made up for about 0.6% out of the total 9.5. So if we are we right to assume that this is going to be the 0.6? Because if I remember, the tender was pretty early in the quarter. But remind me quickly. Is this going to be a little more, or is it going to be a little less? What's the impact here on your cost of funds? What should we assume, let's say, for the next days, two quarters?
I mean, it should probably be about the same. You know, the transaction, we issued that transaction that was back in July the 20th. So, but as of today, I mean, we have used some of those resources, so the negative carry is going to diminish in the sense that we are using or we are investing more efficiently those extra resources. But definitely, as Angel was mentioning, you know, the whole purpose of the transaction was to, you know, being conservative on the conservative side, you know, that refinancing all the U.S. dollar denominated debt. And in order to avoid any external shocks on the economy. So I would say that it should remain about the same, you know, in the range of the 0.6-0.5% additional cost of funds.
Okay, makes totally sense. And then just one, I forgot that one, I highlighted it here. So you mentioned in the press release that if there would be a 100 basis point increase on the interest rate in Mexico and the U.S., that would have another 3% negative. That would have a negative impact of 3% on your net income. That's for net income growth 2017, or is that because we have seen already a decent increase here in Mexico? Is that already something that affects you, considering that there was basically no increase in the U.S. but a significant increase in Mexico? So that 3% number, is that for 2017, or is that something for 2016?
That's highly hypothetical, in the sense that you know, that would be for the 2017, because already the cost of funds that you are seeing right now, they already incorporated the 100 basis that we have experienced over the last few months, almost a year. So that would be for the next year.
Yeah, so it should be just a minor increase due to the most recent 50 basis point hike we had about a month ago, right? Because that's
right,
likely to affect a little bit the fourth quarter.
Right. And you know, the thing is that the main driver of that one is going to be the outcome of the U.S. election. So that's what
like
we are.
Right?
pretty much, Benjamin.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. No, that's all on my side, and thank you very much for the clarification. Well, congrats again for the results.
Thank you, Benjamin.
And again, that is *1 to ask a question. And please state your name and company name before asking your question. We will take our next question. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, this is Jordan Heimlich with Philadelphia Financial. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Jordan.
Thanks. Two questions. When you talk about that extra $41 million, is that on the operating line or is that on the net income line from this quarter, the balance sheet effects?
Excuse me, come again?
You mentioned that if there wasn't the extra balance sheet liquidity, you would have had an extra $41 million, I believe. Is that on the operating line or the net income line?
On the net income.
Okay. So it would have been the same tax rate, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Because there was a below normal tax rate this quarter is what I'm trying to get at.
Excuse me, come again?
There was a below normal tax rate a little bit this quarter?
Yes, normally that's affected by the effect of the consolidation of the subsidiaries, especially those in the abroad Mexico.
So what would be a normal tax rate going forward?
We should be expecting something in the range of the 27%.
Okay. When you start to think about next year, this year has been a consolidation year, and you've done an excellent job, and you've grown loans, but the net income growth has not been as much. Are we still forecasting at least a 15% net income growth next year in 17 over 16?
Yes, we definitely, what we expect in terms of net income, our guidance, and we haven't changed that, is going to, it should be growing, for the next year, it should be growing 15 to 18%. And in terms of the book, that should be growing 15 to 20%. And we feel confident about those as well.
And that's with the same tax rate?
That's with the same tax rate, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
And again, that is star one to ask a question. And we have no further phone questions at this time. And again, there are no further phone questions.
Thank you, operator.
You're welcome.
Well, and thank you all for taking part of this conference call.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.